It's time to take a journey, to find your courage, break through your limits, and master your destiny. It's time for Ken D. Foster's Voices of Courage. Ken brings you some of the most courageous people on the planet that will inspire greatness within you and change your life for the better. It's time to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. It's time for Voices of Courage. And here's your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. Today, I have a great show lined up for you. We're calling it The Courage to Supersize Your Success. I've got a couple of great guests on our show today. I've got Greg Milano, and Greg is a founder of Fortuna Advisors. He's a person that's dealt with change management for his life. He's an expert in that area. We're going to be talking to him. I also have a second guest. Her name is Michelle Johnson. And Michelle is all about helping you to find happiness within relationships. Boy, can we use that today in all this shutdown? How are we even creating relationships? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I want to start out and just tell you this, that, there's a lot of people that are going through a lot of changes right now, especially business owners and entrepreneurs. I'm one of them. I know I've had to take my business online and my wife's business is online. Fortunately for us, we've got the technology and skill sets to be able to do that. But for a lot of you, it's really a challenge. So I realize that and my heart goes out to you. But I want to say this, that we are going to get back to normal. Things are going to start changing around. And if you're ahead of that curve, then you're the one that's going to reap the benefits of that. That's why I'm doing this show today, because I want to bring on the experts who can help you with your mindset and help you turn things around so that your business, whether it be online or offline, really takes an upscale, an uplift into what you're doing right now. So I was reading an article this week, and it happened to mention that between ages 0 and 16, that people are criticized about 16,000 times. Now imagine what that does to the psyche. That's about 3 times a day. So a lot of times, I know I grew up in a household that a lot of people were critical, and I became a critical thinker. What do critical thinkers do? Well, most of the time we're looking for things that are wrong, things that aren't working. And quite frankly, there's not much wrong with that, because that's how we improve things. As an entrepreneur, I'm always looking, what can I do to improve things? What's wrong with this? What can I fix? But when it comes down to personal relationships and we start to criticize people around us out of habit, and most of this is out of habit, we see it a lot on social media, right? You think you can criticize somebody and it won't come back to you. Quite frankly, it's coming back to you quite a bit, whether you're conscious of it or not. But what I find is that if we change that mindset around, we start to look at what's the good in people, what's the good in our world. And it's such a critical piece right now. You know, you've got a lot of media out there, right? And then you have everything on the social media right now. And you've got a lot of people criticizing no matter what's good. You know, the president comes out with a statement on chloroquine and hydrochloroquine, and all of a sudden you get all the people that are against it. Then you get all the people that are for it. I mean, we are such a polarized society right now. What is that all about? Well, I believe it is a lot about criticism and criticizing no matter what's good or what's bad. Here's the problem with criticism. When you're in that place and you're really looking for what's wrong and you're polarized in one direction or another, what's going on is you're not tuning into your inner wisdom. You've really stopped that, because most criticism comes from habits or comes from programmed beliefs from our governments, our institutions, your family, your friends. It's not about being a wise person. It's really about criticism. That's really about what it is. So I've asked myself this many times, why is common sense so uncommon in the world? Well, I can tell you why it's uncommon. Because most people have not taken the time to develop their inner wisdom, to really tune into what's highest and best in every situation. They're just responding, reacting from pre-programmed beliefs. So if that's you, you know, you may want to just stop for a moment. This is a great time when you're isolated. You know, Leonardo da Vinci said, isolation is the price of greatness. Why did he say that? Well, because he knew that when we tune into ourselves, when we could get quiet, when we can get still, that all of a sudden what happens is our creative energies start to flow. We start to open up and see things that we've never seen before, do things we've never done before. And as a result, our life gets better and better. You know, the show today is dedicated to all of you people that want to supersize your success. So how do we do that? First step is you stop being a critical thinker in the terms of criticizing. You start being a thinker that is looking for what's right, what's good, what needs improvement, where you can change, where you can develop, where you can be all of yourself, okay? In other words, uplift yourself. And then you start taking actions around that. Now, whether you're in a corporate environment, whether you're an entrepreneur at home, whether you're a corporate entrepreneur now because you're in the home and you're still working for the company, or you're a housewife or a housemaker or whatever you are, we can all supersize our success. And we do that by tuning in. We do that by self-reflection. We do that by maybe pulling out a journal and start to journal what's working for you, what's not working for you, and where can you change so that your life starts to get better and better. All right, listen, I want to mention this before I bring on my first guest. As some of you know, I've written a book. It's called The Courage to Change Everything. It's daily strategies and essential wisdom to unlock your inner genius. I talk about that a lot, don't I? Well, listen, I found that every day, if you will drip on your mind some astute wisdom from individuals that have been gone before you, have realized how to create wealth, how to create happiness, how to create success, if you'll do that every single day, and then what you'll do is you'll also ask some specific questions. That's what this book does. It gives you specific questions to open up your mind, open up your creativity, and they then take specific actions. I wrote that book in a way that you can every day just take 10, 15 minutes, tune in to that book, tune into the wisdom, tune into the actions. Every day, if you'll do that, what's going to happen is you're going to reprogram your mind for success on a continuous basis. Listen, I don't think there's anybody on the planet that can't improve. I've not come across, and maybe it's just because my business for the last 26 years has been to help people to transform their businesses and lives. And those are the people that come to me. That's who I see. But I will tell you this, all of us can use some brainwashing at certain points in time. We have to let go of what's not working. We have to get some wisdom into our minds as to what it is for the next steps. That's what the book does. It helps you to do that. I hope you'll check it out. CourageToChange.us. That's CourageToChange.us. All righty, I'm going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I got my first guest, Greg Milano, and we'll be talking about how to shift from where you are in maybe your corporate thinking to where you are now offline. I guess you're online now. You were offline, now you're online. And we'll be talking to Greg about that in just a second. Okay, we'll be right back.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
We're back with Voices of Courage. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster, and our show today is called The Courage to Supersize Success. By the way, if you are enjoying the great content on Voices of Courage, then I encourage you to check out a couple of my affiliates, UK Health Radio and E360 TV and Talk Radio New York City. All three networks are dedicated to empowering you to uplift your problems, solve them, actually uplift your spirit, maybe become the best version of yourself. Hope you'll check them out at ukhealthradio.com, talkradionewyorkcity.com, and e360tv.com. All righty, my guest is in studio, and he is waiting patiently. Thank you for waiting, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, listen, Greg's the founder and chief executive officer of Fontuna Advisors. He's a leading expert in capital allocation, behavioral finance, and incentive compensation. Greg is on the editorial board of the Journal of Applied Corporate Finance. He has published hundreds of industry articles and has appeared as a corporate finance thought leader on dozens of national broadcast outlets, including the Sunday Times, Sunday Business, and Financial Times, CNBC, Bloomberg, and Sky Business News. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Greg, you're an expert in working with corporate owners, CEOs, leaders in organizations. I know one of your messages is to talk to people about being more like a business owner instead of just an employee. And whether you're the CEO working for somebody or you're the person at the bottom working for somebody, how important is that in today's market?
It's unbelievably important, Ken. And I think when you look at an individual leader, you can look at their legal status with the company. They're an employee or they're an owner. But separately, you can look at how they behave. And some people behave like employees with a very short-term view. And then others behave like owners. Even many employee managers behave like owners, where they think and act more like an owner in terms of how they invest in the business, how they think about growth, how they think about differentiating their services for their customers. It's a very different way of thinking to think like an owner. And most of our work these days at Fortuna Advisors is to help companies transform the way they manage so that managers, whether they are owners or not, think and act more long-term.
Well, I can tell you when I was in the corporate world, I was a stockbroker for years. And when I started thinking as a business owner, all of a sudden I got promoted and I started managing other brokers. And then I got promoted again because I started to look out for the company. Is that what we're talking about here?
Well, we are. But even many that get promoted, especially these days in large corporations, sometimes they've just learned how to play the game better. They haven't really improved or changed their game. All of this started with about 20 years ago, I started realizing that a number of my clients were underinvesting in their business. They weren't investing enough in capacity. They weren't investing enough in innovation and differentiation. They weren't investing enough in building brands and things that have long-term sustainable value. They were very focused on next quarter's performance. And in order to change people's behavior, you have to do more than just ask them to think longer term. You have to change the way they're measured. You have to change the way they plan. The basic ways somebody operates their business tend to lead to the behavior they get from the managers all around them. And you find that if you focus on the behavior rather than just telling people what to do, you can shape people in a way that they really do think longer term and make much better decisions.
So does that start with working with the organization's mission and values? Where do you start with that?
Well, I mean, my background is finance. So we actually start by trying to prove to people that their financial performance is not really being optimized. And then we back up to how do you go about changing that. But more and more these days, we do wind up focusing on the mission, the values, and the real purpose of the organization. The what is it you really do for your customers? What is it you really do for your employees? And how do you optimize that? I think the unfortunate thing that many who, like me, have a finance background are guilty of is thinking that it's all about dollars and cents. And even if you feel that it's eventually all about dollars and cents, the way to get there is to start out thinking about things like satisfaction and differentiation and how you make what you're doing more meaningful and more unique to your customers. And it's those companies that not only deliver more value to their customers, but they wind up delivering more value to their owners as well, because the customers like what they do so much.
An article came across my desk here yesterday where it was from an employee, and she was raving about her company. Her company had invested, given everybody in the company a $700 check over and above the stimulus. They had been advising everybody ongoing with communication as to what's happening. They basically kept everybody on. These are the greatest assets we have. Do you have any stories like that about people are shifting now online with the way that they're dealing with their employees, that are treating their companies?
Yeah, I think for the companies that can do it, that have been able to transition to their employees working online from home and still being able to be productive, many service-oriented businesses and software businesses and others have been able to do that pretty seamlessly. I think they're finding a couple of things. One is people generally like it more. They like the freedom it gives them. They like the time, the better work-life balance they're able to construct when they eliminate their commute and other things. They're finding that because of that, people are more not just more productive, but more attentive. When they switch on, they're really on. And when they switch off, they're really off. And so I think there are benefits there. I think that the problems come in for anybody in a business that involves manufacturing or involves, retail or some sort of a required presence where people are going to be together. I think those are the businesses that face the biggest challenges because it isn't as easy to see how they need to change their business model in this new environment. But I think, everybody faces some challenges with what's going on now, but I think those businesses face the biggest challenges. And some of them that I speak to still aren't really quite sure what they're going to do to try to deal with it.
That's good. Well, you have a lot of expertise in working with these businesses. A lot of them have faced a lot of different challenges. You're right. Which ones are going to succeed, do you think? Which ones are going to have the most success?
It will obviously, vary by industry, but I think within each industry, each type of business, the people that are trying to architect the future while they deal with the current problem, they're trying to say, okay, we're going to deal with it this way, but at the same time, we're going to be thinking about exactly what our new form is going to be going forward, are the ones that are going to be most successful. The ones that are so caught up in firefighting, which we all are to a degree, but the ones that are so caught up in firefighting that they can't think beyond next week or next month are going to have the biggest problem because their competitors are going to find a business model that works better in this new paradigm, and they're still going to be dealing with the old paradigm and fighting fires, and they're going to lose ground.
So what I'm hearing you say is your recommendation might be for businesses to put their teams together and start creating the vision of the future, what the new vision of the future looks like. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's right. That's right.
Okay. When, most companies, you say, get it wrong when allocating investment resources across their businesses. Can you start to talk a little bit about that? We might have to take a break, but let's get into that a little bit.
Okay, well, let me just give you a high-level rationale for it. If you think about a good successful investor like Warren Buffett, let's say. Warren Buffett likes to buy shares of companies he believes are going to be successful and go up in value, and he sells shares of companies or avoids buying shares of companies that he thinks are going to be flat or go down in value. when we look inside of businesses that have many different product lines, maybe many different groups of companies, many different regions in which they operate, they should do the very same thing. They should be betting more in terms of their human capital and their financial capital on the places where they can create a lot of value and less where they can't. But unfortunately, when you walk into most companies and you look at what they're doing, they're just smearing the resources, whether it's humans or financial capital, across the organization without enough differentiation. They don't really identify where they're creating value and where they're not with enough clarity to be able to really allocate those resources optimally.
Okay, I like that. Well, listen, I got to take a quick break. And when we come back, let's dive into maybe the framework of evaluating creative opportunities in organizations. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
If you're an author, speaker, or organization committed to changing the world, and you need a partner to support you with PR, your website, or social media, Wasabi Publicity is the perfect fit. Wasabi Publicity works with companies and individuals committed to doing good in the world. Everything they do is instilled with passion, impact, and brilliance. Go to WasabiPublicity.com. That's WasabiPublicity.com. To schedule a call with Wasabi CEO, Drew Gerber.
The most talented athletes in the world rely on a coach to get better. And the most successful business people do the same.
I have found working with Ken D. Foster to be an extraordinary experience. He helped me to expand my vision, increase profits, and showed me the way to have more fulfillment and success in my life.
Ken D. Foster is the coach's coach for business and life. He has been nicknamed the coach of the successful and wealthy.
Ken is an instrumental part of my team and the success I have generated over the past 12 months. Ken gave me the strategies to increase productivity, reduce turnover, and take my business to the next level.
So what's holding you back? Ken D. Foster is a master business coach with proven strategies to dramatically increase efficiency and productivity while maximizing individual development and fulfillment. Explore your possibilities. For a free consultation, log on to KenDFoster.com. That's KenDFoster.com. KenDFoster.com.
We're back with Voices of Courage. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Courage. Today our show is called The Courage to Supersize Success. I'm your host, Ken D. Foster. And before I get to back to my guest, I'd like to give a shout out to one of our sponsors. It's Women's Wisdom. And Women's Wisdom is an organization that helps women business owners to grow their businesses and grow their lives. They have online events every 2 weeks where they bring in celebrity speakers and help you to grow your business and, again, grow your life if you're a woman entrepreneur. So I hope you check them out at womenswisdom.net. That's womenswisdom.net. Truly want to thank you for tuning in, and I appreciate you letting your friends and family know and associates know about our show. All the replays are available at voicesofcourage.us, voicesofcourage.us. And if you want to play our podcast while you're driving in the car, just say to Siri, Cortana, or Alexa, play Voices of Courage podcast, and the current show will come right up. All righty, I want to get back to my guest. His name is Greg Milano. He is the Chief Executive Officer and founder of Fortuna Advisors. And Greg has nearly 30 years experience in management consulting. We're talking about possibly working with individuals, Greg, that or how do you work with individuals that are trying to kind of shift in this environment, open up their creativity? How do you set a framework around that in the businesses that you work with?
What we find is there are a number of things that need to change if you want people's behavior to shift to get them to really think and act like owners. And it affects the way you pay them, the way incentive compensation is delivered, the way you measure them for those incentives, the way they plan, the way they budget, the way they allocate resources. All of the basic business management processes in a company are geared far too much toward developing a plan and then measuring variances against that plan. And if you think about it, when you just consider that framework, why would anybody ever plan for success when they know they're going to be measured against the plan? They're going to plan for what financial people call sandbagged plans, right? They're going to reduce their outlook so that the goals are easier. And it doesn't really matter if you perform, it just matters that you beat what you said you were going to do. So you may as well say you're going to do something soft. And then of course the boss that reviews the plan, or if you are the boss, then like a compensation committee of a board of directors that reviews the plan, will then come back and say, well, we don't believe that plan. We think that you can do much better than that. And you know, it creates this adversarial negotiation environment where people are just not that focused on really trying to deliver as much as they can. You know, if you went to LeBron James before a game and, you know, he's averaged something like 27 points a game for his entire career, you know, would you expect him to say, well, I think I'm only going to score 5 or 6 tonight, so that if he only scores 15, he still looks good? I mean, he would never do that. He's never going to try to convince you that he's going to have a bad night so that he looks good relative to that expectation. But that's exactly what we're doing inside every company. And it leads to very bad behavior. It leads to divisive negotiations and debates and a lack of trust. It's really measuring performance against plans and budgets is probably the single biggest problem from a financial management point of view in terms of the adverse impact on what people do inside companies.
Okay, so once you set up a financial plan, let's say you even have the employees involved in setting up their goals and their financial plans. How do you get them to, first of all, create accurate plans that would increase corporate growth, let's say, 3% or 5% and yet buy into that plan and feel passionate about it and want to work around that plan? How does that happen?
The first step to making planning more effective is to stop measuring against it. And so what we do is we've developed some financial measures that are more robust than the traditional accounting-based measures. And they're so robust that we can just measure them against last year. And if they go up, they're good. If they go down, they're bad. They're complete enough measures of financial performance that when they go up, it's good. And when they go down, it's bad. So when people improve our measures, they get paid more. And when the measures go down, they get paid less without any mention of the plan. So now when we get to the plan, a boss, a CEO may turn to the head of a business unit and say, I think you could, pursue these three actions. And if you pursue these three actions in your plan, I think you can create more value. The person running the business unit may or may not agree with their boss. But before they answer the question, at least they know if they deliver those actions, they're going to get paid for them. And so is the boss. If performance gets better, we're both going to be paid. We're on the same side of the page. And when we can both be on the same side of the page, we're just so much more likely to work together to produce more success than we have when we have this divisive negotiation mentality.
I love it. Love that message. You have a book out right now. It's called Curing Corporate Short-Termism, which is everything we've been talking about. I really like that. Why'd you write the book?
Well, I've been working for 30 years doing this, and I'm always like working on one aspect of it with a company. And this was a means of trying to kind of lay out an entire blueprint for how to change the way companies set goals, the way they plan, the way they allocate resources, the way they measure people, the way they train people, in one sort of complete, consistent framework. And the book really is kind of a how-to guide on how to do everything I've been talking about.
That's really good. So if I read that book, I'm going to probably understand how to shift short-term thinking in my organization to longer-term thinking. Am I correct about that?
That's right. And not just how to think longer-term, but how to get everybody around you to care about the long-term more than the short-term.
What's the one factor that you would say is most important in getting people to care about long-term goals?
Getting them to realize that it's more important to do what's right than what some outside voices are telling you what to do. For example, sell-side analysts in the market are constantly worried about next quarter's earnings. Very often, to meet next quarter's earnings, companies do things that they should never do for the long-term good of the business, but they want to meet next quarter's earnings. Having the courage to be able to step beyond those demands and do what you know is right for the business is tough, but the people that do it are successful. I don't think, for example, Jeff Bezos really makes many decisions inside of his company because of what investors and analysts say to him. And companies of all different types and sizes need to behave more like that.
That makes a lot of sense. Fortuna Advisors, Curing Corporate Short-Termism. I like your message a lot. I think people can really resonate with this. So I want to get personal with you for a second so people get to know you a little bit. What's probably the most courageous act that you've stepped into over the last 5 years? Where have you shifted yourself?
Well, I was doing a lot of work in the oil field services business when the oil price dropped from 105 to 27. And, you know, working with companies that were having very difficult times to figure out how to prioritize their actions to be able to soften the downturn and not necessarily do what the short-termists were demanding of them, but instead to do what would be best for the flexibility and the endurance and the sustainability of the organization was tough. There were lots of loud voices, arguing, you got to do this, you got to do that, or else. And to be able to, get a step past that and do what was needed with my clients to be able to take that longer term view and in many cases save companies and jobs was very challenging, but very rewarding. The people in that industry have been hit so hard. It's been very, very difficult for them. And, we've shifted our focus some over time to other industries, but, the people that are in there have faced many challenges. And I have tremendous respect for the leadership of those companies. What they've been able to do against all odds to keep their companies going is truly remarkable.
That's good. In your own experience, what would you say are the two factors that are most important in overcoming challenges today in business? What do you think those factors are?
I think the two things I would say are, first, taking the time to figure out the right answers to questions rather than jumping at what appears to be the right answer or somebody's telling you is the right answer. Having the patience to really think things through properly is one thing that is important, and I see a lot of people just not doing these days. And the second thing is recognizing the value of the people in the organization and being transparent with them, being clear with them, providing a vision, providing an idea of the purpose of the organization, something that they can latch on to and rally around and have clarity on how they should think and act in their own daily lives to try and promote the success of the organization. As I said before, I think too many people, especially people with financial backgrounds, think way too much about short-term dollars and cents, and they wind up with less dollars and cents because they don't really think about the people that are going to create the success for them. I said a long time ago to somebody that below me that was promoted, I said, you're at a point now where you have to worry more about the people that report to you than the people you report to, because the people that report to you will make you look good in front of the people that you report to. And just far too many people don't get that message.
Makes sense. Okay. Well, listen, how do people get that book of yours? How do they get Curing the Corporate Short-Termism?
It's available on Amazon, and there's a page on our website, fortunaadvisors.com, that gives information about the book and links to be able to get it in soft copy, hardcover, and in Kindle.
That's awesome, man. Greg, thank you for your time today. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. I think it's a powerful message. It's a message that needs to be heard by those that are in the corporate experience right now, so that they can really start to think longer term strategically and create and really tune into those factors that you mentioned, everybody, that will help them to really have a better experience in their work life environment. So, Greg, thank you again. Really appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me on, Ken.
All righty. Well, listen, I got to take a break. And when I come back, I'm going to introduce Michaela Renee Johnson. She's an award-winning author and she's a psychotherapist. And she's the host of the top iTunes podcast, Be You Find Happy. I love it. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
Hi, this is Ken D. Foster. Are you an author or would-be author? If so, a few of my New York Times best-selling author friends Some of my book marketing strategist friends and I are going to be teaching you how to write, market, and launch your book to bestseller status. And get this, no cost to you. You're going to learn from the experts that I use, their formulas, and their simple steps to make your book a bestseller. So find out how to do this at couragetochange.us/invite. couragetochange.us/invite. There are, I think we have 12 master teachers in the class right now. You're going to learn things you never knew about book marketing. I can tell you that because I've been marketing books for the last 15 years, and I've learned a whole bunch from the experts that I brought on. Hope you'll join us at couragetochange.us.
We're back with Voices of Courage. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. Today, our show is called The Courage to Supersize Your Success. And I have an amazing guest coming in the studio right now. Her name is Michaela Renee Johnson. She is an award-winning author, licensed psychotherapist, and host of the top iTunes podcast, Be You, Find Happy, which encourages people to speak their truth with grace and live a, love this, a courageous life of authenticity. Hey, Ms. Michaela, hi. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Wow. Where are you calling in from? Where are you at now?
Sunny Northern California. It's very hot here today.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I used to live in Sacramento area for a while and traveled all around up in Northern California. So a part of my area, I was a financial service manager in the Bank of America system. So I had about 300 branches underneath me. So travel all around there. What part of Northern California in?
I'm in the foothills, so I'm sure you're familiar with where James Marshall discovered gold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Very nice. Okay, that's a beautiful area up there.
It really is.
All right, I'm excited to talk to you. You know, you've got a lot going on. You're an avid adventurer. You've been traveling for over 20 years. You're a self-proclaimed boohoo mom. What's a boohoo mom?
It's a boho mom.
Boho. See, I'm dating myself, man. Go ahead. What's a boho mom?
It's basically short for bohemian. So it means that I kind of take a sort of hippie approach to how I raise my son and how I live my life. So we grow our food. We catch our fish. We raise chickens. Now that's like the popular thing. but it wasn't when I started doing it.
That's funny. Yeah, I have one of my daughters that'd be right with you, and my sister's that way too. They ranch several hundred acres, and my daughter loves to raise her chickens and her goats and her food, and she's into it. It's awesome. I love it.
It's fabulous. Yeah, so it's all about experiential learning and kind of just exploring the world with your hands and toes in the dirt, you know?
Yeah, I get it. Hey, listen, let's talk about you. Let's talk about... First of all, you know, you started this podcast. It's very popular. Why do you think that's so popular today?
And you know what's funny is if somebody had told me, my friend really pushed me to start this, and if somebody had told me that it was going to do what it was going to do, I wouldn't have believed it myself. But it's really incredible that I had started kind of using the hashtag #BeYouFindHappy about 6 years ago on Instagram, and people really gravitated towards this idea of living courageously and authentically. And I started to realize that people wanted more happiness. And as a psychotherapist, I was seeing it a lot in my practice. People just really wanted some tangible tips and tricks and tools to live happier now. And so that's kind of how the whole thing started. And it's just gone so much bigger than I ever could have imagined.
That is so great. Well, congratulations on all the success on that. And, you know, I read an article yesterday. I think my wife sent it to me that said the suicide rate has gone up by 80% in the last 30 days. Ah, people are not happy. All right. What's going on out there? What's happening?
I've been saying for some time that I'm far more afraid of the psychological impacts of not socializing and, those sorts of behaviors that we're encouraging people to do than I am of any virus that's naturally occurring in nature. Because I've seen it firsthand. I've seen firsthand what can happen when people are removed from their support groups. And as much as Zoom has been a great tool, FaceTime has been a fantastic tool, it is not the same as physical touch. It's not the same as physical connection. Energetic connection that happens when people are sharing the same space together. As a psychotherapist, even moving my practice onto Zoom for a period of time out of respect for my social responsibility, it was not the same as being face-to-face in a room with people. And that's not to say that telehealth can't be a great choice for people, but the long-term sustainability of humans not connecting as a social being is not a good idea. So I can definitely believe that that number is probably accurate.
Yeah, it is. And, unfortunately, this is a time when people have been isolated, and a lot of people don't know what to do with isolation. Some people take it and they start to introspect. They start to ask themselves, where do I want to go now? What's important? What do I want? And other people that don't have that necessarily those skill sets developed start to worry. They start to go into fear and concern and go into hopelessness and places like that. So, all right, how do we get happy? You're the happiness expert. How do we stay into happiness? Come on, let's get it.
Yeah, well, let's touch on what you said about fear first, because okay. I think that's the biggest thing that people are forgetting, and I even forgot it myself for a hot minute, and that is that you are responsible for what you consume. And while everything may feel out of control and may feel like you don't have a choice, you absolutely have a choice on what you're consuming right now. And so make wise choices for yourself. Insight is called insight because it comes from within. It's not called outsight. So if you want to start living happier now, then you need to go inside yourself to find what things are going to bring you happiness and what things are going to perpetuate fear. And if, watching the news is perpetuating fear and that's not bringing you happiness, then it's up to you to choose something else.
Well, what you just said is so important. I mean, what you're responsible for what you consume. I think a lot of times people can understand that on a physical level. They can go in front of the mirror, they can take a picture of what they look like, and they can go, do I really like that image or not? That image was developed and created by you. Would you agree with that?
Yes. And what we create in our mind isn't always truthful. So a lot of times what we're seeing or how we're showing up has been shaped by other people's messaging in our life too. So it can be kind of a tricky juxtaposition to be in there because, the self-narrative and self-talk can be very powerful in a very negative way. So it's important to be mindful of that as well. Showing up in a way that is with gratitude and is in a way that's positive. And that's not always easy to do, especially when you're hurting or you're fearful.
Yeah, I get that. I tell people that, your greatest thinking has got you right where you are. And for a lot of people, what you're saying is you can't really outthink your greatest thinking. You really need to, if you're not getting the results that you want, or you're feeling sad, or you're feeling lonely, or you're feeling upset, it is time to reach out to get some other people that I've always learned here, Michaela, is I surround myself with very positive individuals because my mind can be a dangerous place to be alone. And I know a lot of people are like that.
Yeah.
What do you recommend with that?
Well, and I think it's important to think about this idea. Every one of us is bleeding red, right? So if you have those thoughts and feelings, your neighbor probably has those thoughts and feelings too. And your friends probably have those thoughts and feelings too. We're all human. And so it can be an incredibly receiving way to give, which is to call somebody that may be going through the same thing as you are and showing up in that authentic way. It takes courage to do that. It takes courage to put yourself out there like that and kind of hope that someone else is going to understand or someone else is going to get it. And the flip side of that, and what I often tell clients is that, what's really cool is that we don't have to agree with how someone else is feeling, but we can absolutely acknowledge and validate that person. So you may say, I'm fat, And I may not agree with you at all, but I could say, you know, Ken, I could see how that hurts. I can see how that's troubling for you. I'm sorry you're going through that. And so, you know, sometimes just showing up for other people in that way can be a way that you give back to yourself and that you start to validate yourself. It's kind of like a self-modeling. Have you ever heard of like modeling for your children what you want them to do? It's the same kind of thing, showing up for your friends in that way and saying, you're beautiful. It also shares that message with you that I can find something in myself that is beautiful or is positive.
Absolutely. You know, my wife had a story where her daughter, Judy's my second wife. So her daughter, Tara, was acting out and she decided, she tried everything, tried to correct the behavior, wasn't working. And then she just tried doing a little shift. She started just acknowledging the brilliance, the greatness inside of her, catching her doing things right. And all of a sudden, the behavior completely shifted. Just that little simple thing. So I really believe in today's world, you know, and it's something practice I like to do. When I'm in the grocery stores or I'm anywhere and I see fear or I see somebody upset or unhappy, you know, that little piece you just gave, that little compassion, gosh, you know, it looks like you're having a really tough day today. You know, and they'll open up, they'll start talking. I say, you know what? Then my little trick is I always see the brilliance in them. Well, you know, I just love your eyes. I love your smile. You're on the front line. You're doing such a great thing. And that just little shifts people like that. You know, and I personally will say one last thing, Michaela, is that piece that if we are, if we're feeling down or upset, you know, a great psychologist told me years ago, he said, go find somebody that is in worse pain than you and go help them. You know, is that the truth or what?
Yeah, my papa used to say, I used to complain about my shoes being old until I saw a man that had no feet.
That's it.
And you know, it's a tough thing being a psychotherapist because I have to accept that whatever my clients are going through for them is the end of the world sometimes, even though as an outsider looking in, I can see that it's not. And that can be challenging too, is, you know, to meet someone where they're at when you know that it could be worse, you know, and it's terrible. You don't want to say, you ain't got no problems. You know, that's not the right way as a psychotherapist, but there have been so many times where I've really wanted to put it into perspective.
I hear you. Well, listen, when I got to take a quick break, when we come back, I'd like to talk about, there's a lot of people making shifts today in you know, going, their businesses have gone away. They're living in situations where they're not used to. Maybe they're going to be an entrepreneur and shift that. All of this though takes confidence and courage. I'd like to take a deeper dive from your point of view into how people can step into that. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back with Michaela Renee Johnson.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
If you, your company, or organization is out to change the world and you need a team that produces results to take your message to the next level, Sabi Publicity is the perfect fit. Recognized by PR Week and Good Morning America for its innovative business practices, Sabi Publicity works with companies and individuals committed to doing good in the world. Whether it's creating an engaging website, building a passionate social media tribe, or connecting their clients with top media influencers like Good Morning America, The New York Times, and Oprah. Everything they do is instilled with passion, impact, and brilliance. you're an author, speaker, or organization committed to changing the world, and you need a partner to support you with PR, your website, or social media, go to WasabiPublicity.com. That's WasabiPublicity.com to schedule a call with Wasabi CEO, Drew Gerber.
We're back with Voices of Courage. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. Today, our show is called The Courage to Supersize Your Success. And we're really talking about the inner game of success, how you can really shift inside of yourself to really have more happiness, more joy, more wealth and abundance in all areas of your life, right? Today, I'm talking with Michaela Renee Johnson. She's an award-winning author. She's a licensed psychotherapist and the host of the top iTunes podcast, Be You Find Happy, which incorporates people, encourages people to speak their truth, become authentic, become real, and step into their courage. Michaela, it's so great to have you here. You know, I just love our talk right now because I think there's a lot of people that can benefit from this. So let's take a deeper dive into courage and into confidence. How do people dive into that deeper when they're looking at the world and maybe they're in that fearful lot mindset? They see everything is kind of gray and dark and oh my gosh, how do you find the courage to get out of that and step into the brilliance that is you?
I like to allow people to feel their emotions. So I suggest setting a worry clock. Stress out for 10 minutes, set a worry clock. And then after that clock timer is done, now is time for you to take some action. And the other thing is, a lot of the things that you're worried about right now in this moment are not going to exist in a couple of years. So, you know, if you look at it like that, it's temporary and we can get through most temporary things. I tell anybody, I can run 3 miles, no problem. You know, it's the 34 that worry me. So if you look at it as a temporary situation, then you can really put some rational thought into it and say, what am I being irrational about? What am I being rational about? And how can I take some logical action towards changing my life? Now, how does that apply to confidence? When we start to become in control of our life and empowered by our choices, we become more confident. And we start to realize that we have everything that we need within to do what we want to do, and we need less validation from others. We talked about validation before the break. And so that's a really empowering way to live. When you start to realize you can take positive action in your life and see results, then you start to become more confident. You start to believe in yourself.
I like that. You know, I had a lady come to me that had made a bunch of poor choices in relationship. And she found herself in a place where she didn't have a car, was living with an in-law, and had no source of income. And so how does somebody like that, okay, who realizes they've made a bunch of choices that are wrong, how do they find the courage to step back in? I'm sure you've had a lot of clients come to you with similar circumstances.
I mean, I think tools can be really handy in that sort of situation. So, you know, considering that her financial resources are probably not there, that can be an important time to start to lean on people. There's a lot of free apps out there like Insight Timer, which has got a ton of guided meditations and things like that on confidence and building, reducing anxiety and building happiness and things like that. So starting in a space with people who are non-judgmental, non-critical, and starting to really build your sense of self again from the ground up is important. It's an uncomfortable feeling to look in the mirror and realize you've really lost sight of all that you are. And those choices that you made, give yourself a little credit. You did the very best you could in the moment with what you had, and that's okay. And everything that didn't work out for you before, you get to take with you, and not in a bad way. That becomes the building blocks and the foundation of all the things you're going to do in the future and all of the choices that you're going to make differently. So everything that's in our path is beautiful in some way or another. And even living in a car can be a beautiful thing in that moment, like recognizing that you made choices that you may or may not have enjoyed that got you to where you are, and now you want something different. That first step of recognizing that now you want something different is you being you. It's you tapping inside and saying, I'm ready.
Well, you know, people will hear that and go, you mean living in a car? I'm supposed to be okay with that? But I love your point. You know, I'll give you a story. Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote the book Conversations with God that sold millions and millions of copies, was right at that place. He was in a car, unemployed, nothing going on in his life. And that's when the insights came to him to write that book. Yeah. So, well, your point is well taken. And what your point is that it doesn't matter where we are, there are lessons here to learn. And, you know, life, I'll just put my two cents. Life is a big school. We're all here learning, we're growing, we're evolving. And so no matter where you are, it may feel like crap because we've all, anybody that's been successful has been in those places many times. And we learn how to fail forward by looking at what worked, what didn't work, and where we can improve upon. I love your message, Michaela. Let's talk about kids. Let me switch
the gear. Just to pull that in. I mean, I grew up in a 27-foot fifth wheel with no running water and no electricity.
There you go.
So I can kind of relate it. And granted, now that's like the cool thing, you know, hashtag van life, but it certainly wasn't when I was 12. But you know, I learned a lot from that experience. And I think that it's an important acknowledgement that that's not the end of our journey. That's the start of our success.
I love that. And yeah, it's the start of our success if we learn from it. And I was just thinking, as you're saying it, it's like, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, wow, you know, my life is not working the way I want. I've just shifted everything, you know, the TV is on. They're telling me the world's falling apart. I'm going to wear masks the rest of my life. And the stock market's crashing and the world is ending. It's like, you know, we don't focus on those things. In fact, we turn off all that stuff. And we start to tune into who am I at my core and how powerful are we? I don't know if we can even go there when we're in that place, but you get it. How do you tell when the people are in that place, like what's the first step they can do?
Honestly, I think that this is the best time to learn. And how we learn is from people who have been there and done that. And I think that could be a great tool. I mean, I love to say that I'm an ever learner. I definitely don't have it figured out. And I've been branded as the happiness expert. So people think I'm supposed to be happy all the time and have everything on lock and figured out. And, you know, I like to say, no, the beauty of it is that happiness is a constant reset. It's not something that we go, oh, nailed it, done. You know, it's really a process. And there's always something or someone in life that is trying to threaten our happy factor. And the beautiful thing about that is we would never know true happiness without having true loss, without having true pain. The polars, the contrast is what creates it.
That's it. And then eventually, once we understand the polarization of that, we can start to transcend that and to learn how to have more of a even keel in our lives. I think a lot of times we learn from the dramas. I know I sure have in my life.
And,
right. So, wow. Now, listen, do you have a book out there? Are you writing a book, Michaela? Do you have a book yet?
I do. I have quite a few. One of them is a memoir, Teetering on Disaster, about growing up with no electricity and no running water and all that I learned in that experience. And then the newest one due out June 9th is called Empowered, a Motivational Journal for Women. And it's really amazing. I'm so excited about it. It encourages women to start to live their authentic life, speak their truth with grace. And it's going to be really powerful.
That is awesome. Where can we get that?
So it's available everywhere the books are sold. Obviously, Amazon's probably the easiest, but IndieBound, Barnes & Noble, all those great places.
Wow. Empowered, a motivational...
Journal for women.
Journal for women. So are people... is this a journal? Are they journaling?
It actually is. So how I designed this journal is that it's gonna encourage, it's gonna feel a little uncomfortable at times. But if you show up every day, you'll start slaying your dreams. It encourages women to go within and really kind of pull out some of that yuck and the narrative that they've been living and perpetuating and explore who they really are when they're not listening to everybody else.
That's
and
really good.
A lot of fun, creative prompts. You're looking at the stars, you're pulling out art, you know, pens and paint, and it's a good time.
That's awesome. Okay, Michaela, listen, this show is on 9 networks. We're in 240 stations. We are in 165 countries. You now have the message to the world. What is your message to the world right now?
It's exactly what I've said before, which is you're exactly where you're supposed to be right now. That's it. you're exactly where you're supposed to be and you're doing the very best you can. And I know that about you.
It's a message of acceptance of going within and allowing yourself to be where you are, be present. I love that. Michaela, I just love having you on this show. Your energy, your enthusiasm, what you're all about. I got to have you back. I hope you come back with me.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Ken. I just love chatting with you. It's a great day.
That's great. And I hope you can stay on for 1 minute while I close the show here, because I'd love to connect with you for a minute.
Sure.
If you could do that. All righty. Well, listen, that's a wrap today. I hope you've enjoyed this show. And I hope you'll tell all your friends and family and associates about this show. That's how we grow. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and just about every other social media platform. And if you would like to tell or Cortana, Alexa, or who's the other one? Anyway, tell them play Google, Voices of Courage podcast. We'll come right up for you. So I hope you'll check us out. You can get all of our replays at voicesofcourage.us. And until next time, continue to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. Thank you so much for joining me, and I hope you'll come back and join us again.
Thanks for joining us for Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And we're always interested in what you have to say. So follow Ken on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or email your questions and comments to viewer@voicesofcourage.us. Also, you can find all of Ken's previous shows by visiting voicesofcourage.us. Be sure to join us next time as Ken brings more stories of courage that will inspire greatness within you and change your life for the better. Until next time, live courageously and see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. This has been Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster.